T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Punitive U.S. trade rules will boost the cost of importing Chinese teas. The shuttering of USAID halts tea projects globally. And revitalizing Nepal's tea sector, a new push for safe and healthy workplaces. Plus, the UN assesses health and safety of the Nepal tea sector. A UN assessment of tea plantation health and safety by the International Labor Organization, ILO, found it few risks and safety hazards, but cautioned that the prevalence of temporary work without formal contracts limits worker protections. Tea plantations drive socioeconomic growth in Nepal, according to the 57-page report. Quote, however, despite their importance and potential for growth and job creation, the sectors are characterized by poor working conditions, lack of information, and awareness of fundamental rights issues, including the right to a safe and healthy working environment, low levels of productivity and skills, inadequate access to public service, and weak trade union presence. Work in these sectors is particularly vulnerable for women who are often subjected to various forms of workplace harassment and discrimination, end quote, writes ILO. Anshu Giri, a third-generation large-scale plantation director at Samshar Tea in Nepal, is a respected progressive thought leader. He joins us to discuss the ILO assessment and a common-sense approach to compliance in the organized sector that growers at every level should employ. In memoriam, Dishamanaya Kandia Balandra is the first Sri Lankan chairman of the John Keel's holding. He passed on his birthday, February 3rd. He was 85. Ken began his career as a planter at Finley's and worked as a broker before joining John Keel Thompson White in 1969. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
U.S. consumers fond of Chinese tea were dealt a double blow this week. The Trump administration ordered a 10% increase in tariffs on all Chinese goods and eliminated duty-free entry for shipments under $800. Wholesalers and retailers adjusted prices to compensate for the existing 7.5% tariff on Chinese tea. They will likely do so again, meaning the most direct and acute increase in cost will be paid by private consumers ordering directly from China. Last year, American shoppers, mainly online, imported $48 billion worth of shipments exempt from tariffs under the de minimis exemption. De minimis is Latin for so minor as to be disregarded. Bloomberg News writes that small value shipments account for about one-tenth of China's export value to the U.S., but the number of these parcels is formidable. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the number of de minimis exempt shipments rose to 1.4 billion in 2024, about double the number in 2022. The New York Times reports that, quote, Congress raised the de minimis exemption in 2016 to $800 from $200 in response to complaints from American customs officials that they were already struggling then to examine all the packages coming in, end quote. Andrew McNeil of Seven Cups Fine Chinese Tea in Tucson, Arizona, writes, quote, the end of the de minimis exemption will have the most meaningful and immediate impact for Chinese tea enthusiasts in the United States, more so than the additional 10% increase in itself, end quote. Of course, it means that everyone importing from individuals to businesses will be paying more for their Chinese tea. Tea Association of the USA President Peter Goji explained that when supply chains are challenged to reduce cost, in this instance to mitigate the effect of a 17.5% tariff, the choices are, one, reduce headcount resulting in potential job loss and unemployment, or forgo investment, causing a lack of spending for innovation, cheapen products resulting in poorer quality for consumers, or charge more. Consumers are negatively impacted, and it's inflationary. McNeil writes, quote, for our own part as a business, we're determined to keep prices steady, sacrificing margins to pay the increased tariffs as much as we can. At first glance, this equalizes things a bit for U.S.-based importers who have, starting in 2018, paid the cost of the tariffs and have had to either absorb it themselves or price it into their goods for the last 6 years, he said. But there's also the potential for the end of the exemption to cause difficulties for U.S.-based importers in the form of the increased administrative onus it puts on U.S. customs and express carriers. This could mean longer delays on imports for compliance, end quote, said McNeil. First Tea Marketing Director Jason Walker writes that the overall volume of imports into the U.S. may decline enough to noticeably increase ocean freight rates across the board. Prices of imported goods like tea thereby face pressures from tariffs and the impact of those tariffs on transport. China swiftly responded by announcing retaliatory tariffs and challenging the U.S. at the World Trade Organization. China targeted coal and gas totaling $20 billion effective February 10th. In December, China halted the export of critical minerals like antimony and gallium used to manufacture semiconductors. It also forbade third-party buyers from re-exporting rare earth minerals to the U.S. The Chinese calculated that 90% of the tariffs imposed between 2018 and 2020 were paid for by American companies or consumers, according to Bloomberg. Unit value declined by 10% from $6.30 per kilo in 2020 to $5.90 per kilo in 2024. But trade volume of Chinese teas increased by 23%. The U.S. Census Bureau trade data, accessed via the GATT database, estimates that the U.S. imported $131 million worth of tea in 2019 from China, a total that has declined yearly to $119 million in 2024. The U.S.'s apparent consumption of Chinese tea is 1.86% of China's exports and only 0.22% of their production. This is not a meaningful amount of tea considering their huge production, said Goji. Business Insight. The tax and duty-free import of tea was one of the founding tenets of the American Revolution. Free and unencumbered import of pure tea from its origin is a centuries-old tradition, observes Peter Goji, president of the Tea Association of the USA. The United States is not a tea-producing nation, he said. There is no commercially grown tea that requires protection via tariffs, nor are there any tea-related farm-based jobs that these tariffs would protect. The federal government has placed the 10,000-person USAID staff on administrative leave as of today. The U.S. Agency for International Development will close its foreign-based offices, cancel employment contracts, and recall most of its overseas workforce to the U.S. within 30 days. Approximately two-thirds of USAID's employees are stationed across more than 60 countries. The impact on programs is immediate and reportedly chaotic. On January 20th, President Trump ordered a freeze of $72 billion in U.S. foreign aid, issuing stop work orders with a few waivers for ongoing life-saving disaster assistance. Restructuring USAID is part of a broader initiative to consolidate the administration of foreign aid within the State Department. In fiscal year 2024, USAID managed $43.4 billion in appropriations, up from $40 billion in 2023. Allocations encompass a range of programs, including economic development, humanitarian assistance, global health initiatives, and disaster relief efforts. Independent assessments show that $1.24 billion in USAID projects during the past 40 years have resulted in $10 billion in economic impact, primarily in low-income developing countries. USAID has funded many projects to enhance the tea industry, often for the benefit of smallholders. Some examples include the Safe Processing and Cooperative Enterprises Project that was launched in 2018 to enable small farmer associations to sell ready-to-eat spices and tea in U.S. markets by meeting food safety regulations. Partnering with Young Mountain Tea to establish the first farmer-owned tea processing facility in the Himalayan region of Kumon. The facility is expected to benefit 500 farmers initially, with potential expansion to support up to 6,000 farmers, enhancing economic growth and soil health. USAID collaborated with the Small Organic Farmers Association, comprising over 3,500 farmers, to conduct agricultural extension training. These trainings have improved crop yields by promoting best practices in farming, handling, and processing. USAID financed the Her Money, Her Life project in Tanzania, where a specialty tea company formed by more than 1,600 smallholder farmers reported a 546% income increase by selling processed tea instead of green leaves. The fate of an ongoing project to train 1,000 tea farmers in climate-smart agriculture and increased demand for Nepali origin tea and other botanicals is unknown. Business Insight. In November 1961, John F. Kennedy established USAID as the lead agency for foreign assistance, consolidating several programs into one entity focused on economic development, humanitarian aid, and disaster relief. Congressional legislation funded USAID as an independent agency within the executive branch, and only Congress can fully dismantle it. In 2018, the Trump administration sought to merge USAID with the State Department, but Congress rejected the proposal. The agency's prospects this time appear grim. Correspondent Rupak Goswami reports that Nepal's tea sector, the cornerstone of its agricultural economy with more than 70,000 regular workers, 80% of whom are women, faces a critical turning point as it graduates from its least development country status in 2026. Despite its contribution to rural development and trade, the tea industry grapples with poor working conditions and occupational safety challenges, as highlighted by a United Nations International Labor Organization ILO assessment. The report, part of ILO's Safety Plus Health for All project, funded by Japan, offers an overview of occupational hazard in Nepal's tea gardens and factories. Key concerns include musculoskeletal strain from manual labor, chemical exposure, and poor access to healthcare services. Women face additional challenges, including harassment and a lack of accommodations during pregnancy. Nepal is a major tea producer with a total production of almost 24,000 metric tons annually. Tea is an important commodity for Nepal, with exports totaling 32 million in 2022, ranking 10th in the country's export basket. Quote, workers have long been subjected to poor working conditions. Meanwhile, until recently, the sector's workers were not covered by any social protection scheme, exposing them to vulnerabilities. While government-owned tea plantations have now been added to Nepal's contribution-based social security funds, the majority of the sector's workers still work informally, with only about 30% formally employed, according to the report. Women workers are particularly vulnerable, frequently facing harassment and discrimination, and often continuing physically demanding tasks during pregnancy without job accommodations. Informal employment contracts exacerbate these situations, leaving most workers without job security or social protection. To address these critical issues, the ILO has outlined recommendations to transform Nepal's tea sector into a safe and equitable employment model. The body has called for establishing formal health surveillance systems and on-site clinics to help identify and to address health issues early, promoting a healthier workforce. Employers should be mandated to provide adequate personal protective equipment, conduct regular safety training, and ensure compliance with national occupational safety and health standards. It had called also for promoting written agreements with both permanent and seasonal workers to enhance job security, enforce fair wages, and provide better access to social protection schemes. Employers were also asked to adopt measures to protect women from harassment, ensure equal pay, and provide alternative roles for pregnant workers to safeguard their health. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 7th February 2025. This week's news was reported by our writer in Guwahati, Rupa Goswami. The Union Budget was announced last week, and the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman announced an allocation of rupees 1,565 crore, or US $170 million, to the Plantation Commodity Boards. The tea board stands to gain the highest allocation of 771.55 crores, an increase of 54% over the budgetary allocation last year. The budget allocation encourages the Tea Board of India to pursue ambitious goals for 25-26, and the goals outlined aim to strengthen India's position as a leading global tea producer and exporter. The objectives focus on increasing productivity, enhancing production of orthodox and green teas, and fostering research for innovation in tea cultivation. 400 self-help groups, 190 farmer-producer organizations, and 7 mini-tea factories for 25-26. And although there were no direct benefits to the tea industry provided in the 25-26 budget, there are policy decisions that can impact the industry. The Tea Association of India have named some of them, including the Prime Minister Dhan Danya Krishi Yojana, or National Mission on High-Yielding Seeds, as a helpful program. A urea plant in Assam, which is expected to mitigate the urea requirement of the tea industry. The Investing in Clean Tech Manufacturing program, which will bring solar panels to tea estates. The Saksham Anganwadi and Poshan 2.0 Jal Jeevan Mission, which will benefit workers on tea estates. The establishment of Bharat Trade Net and support for integration with global supply chains, which will aid the export potential of the tea industry. Now, the news, the government of India is talking to two big tea buyers to ease the financial crunch faced by the Tokhlai Tea Research Association, TRA. The TRA is the oldest and largest tea research institute globally and looks after the research and development needs of the Indian tea industry while providing extension services. Prajit Bordolai, member of the parliament from Assam, raised this issue in the current parliament session, adding that Tokhlai is an iconic institution. In response, Piyush Goyal, the Union Commerce Minister, replied that they had met with captains of the tea industry recently in a meeting in Guwahati, in the presence of Dr. Himanta Biswa Sarma, the Chief Minister, and to court him. I've asked two large tea buyers to get involved in the affairs of TRA in a public-private partnership mode. They've assured me that they will get back to me. TBIS spoke to Joydeep Phukan, secretary of the TRA, who said the situation is bad as subscription from producer members has come down by 40% over the last 2 years. Sources also say that while all tea producers, including the 200,000 small tea holders, benefit from TRA's research, only 25% of producing companies contribute to the TRA. Further, funding from the Tea Board of India has dropped from 49% in 2014-15 to 31% in 23-24.
And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate, smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack, steep simply and conveniently.
A UN assessment of tea plantation health and safety by the International Labor Organization, ILO, found it few risks and safety hazards, but cautioned that the prevalence of temporary work without formal contracts limits worker protections. Tea plantations drive socioeconomic growth in Nepal, according to the 57-page report. Quote, however, despite their importance and potential for growth and job creation, the sectors are characterized by poor working conditions, lack of information, and awareness of fundamental rights issues, including the right to a safe and healthy working environment, low levels of productivity and skills, inadequate access to public service, and weak trade union presence. Work in these sectors is particularly vulnerable for women who are often subjected to various forms of workplace harassment and discrimination, end quote, writes ILO. Anshu Giri, a third-generation large-scale plantation director at Samshar Tea in Nepal, is a respected progressive thought leader. He joins us to discuss the ILO assessment and a common-sense approach to compliance in the organized sector that growers at every level should employ. Anshu Giri has managed the operations of the Giri family's two tea estates since 2010. Samshar and Ganga Devi Tea Estate and Giribandhu Tea Estate are pesticide MRL compliant with EU standards. They produce 1 million kilos of premium CTC, that's cut, tear, curl tea, annually, and 600,000 kilos of high-quality, low-grown orthodox tea exclusively for export. Anshu earned a degree in manufacturing operations and management and holds an MBA from the Herberger Business School at St. Cloud State University in the U.S. Today, I'm excited to introduce newsmaker Anshu Giri, director of Samshar Tea in Nepal.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
ILO is not a regulatory body. Their assessment raises awareness of the best practices in anticipation of Nepal's change in status from a least developed country to a developing country in November 2026. Food safety rules apply to every country, regardless of status. However, trade regulations tighten when a country's economic status improves. Samshar follows HACCP, the Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Point Procedures, and holds ISO food safety management certifications. Workers are trained and issued protective clothing when handling chemicals. Your company complies with health and safety rules and best practices Because that's good business, right?
Partially true. Maybe we don't apply to everything, especially those that are not practical, especially those that may not be mandated by law. I was born here. I was raised here. I grew up with a lot of, you know, children of my employees. I used to hang around with them, you know, play as kids with them. So, you know, I have a sentimental attachment to much of the workers here. When you see the struggles of the underprivileged growing up, you see firsthand the problem that the, you know, the workers are facing, right? So with that being right in front of me, I mean, how would you ignore that, right? A lot of people in the tea industry are like second, third, fourth generations, right? They're like, you know, parents, grandparents have been in the industry. So they're already in touch with what goes on at the grassroots level. I was educated in America, like you said. You know, I am familiar with I'm familiar with all the OSHA principles because my major was management, right? My management undergrad. So I'm familiar with all the OSHA guidelines. I'm you know, and having worked in America for a few years, I know, you know, what occupational health and safety was. So maybe that drew a bit into, you know, some of the implementations that we've done. But much of the recommendations is basically, you know, common sense. It's not rocket science. It's just common sense. Do what you should do, what you must do to protect your employees, and that's it.
The ILO assessment includes recommendations for government, employer organizations, trade unions, workers, and employers. The top recommendation for employers are workplace-level health and safety policy, training, and the integration of health promotion. How widespread is compliance in the organized sector?
For us, this is a normal thing to do. HACCP and ISO 22000 standard guidelines require you to have, measures to protect against cross-contamination, right? ISO 22000 should be mandatory for all tea producers. Because this is not something you need to think about too much, right? This is common sense. What would come naturally to you as an employer? The industry hasn't gotten to a point where, you know, people, you know, majority of the factories are still not yet ISO 22000 certified. And even if they are certified, it is not being implemented. It's basically, a name tag.
Data for the assessment was collected from 65 enterprises, including 12 tea estates, 9 factories, and 9 cooperatives in the fall of 2022. Half of these operations were engaged in orthodox and half in CTC production. They were located in 4 major tea-producing districts. The report concludes, quote, "The main concern in the tea sector is the prevalence of temporary and informal work. Most workers are employed temporarily, reflecting the seasonal nature of tea production and the need for a flexible workforce," end quote. In reading the assessment, were there any concerns you wish had been addressed?
Well, firstly, Dan, a lot of the problems is focused towards the organized tea sector, right? Tea estates. But in Nepal, right, majority of the tea estates are already down under. The majority of the tea here is produced by small tea growers, right? So, like what we call bottle factories. They process it, and like, for example, if today if there's enough raw materials coming in, they'll process the leaf and then, you know, they'll sell it, and then maybe for a few days they won't have any raw materials coming in, then they wouldn't need the employees for that, right? So this safety of employment, you know, guaranteed income, should be implemented, you know, or should be addressed mostly by bottle factories, because they're not doing it, right? For tea gardens, There are already laws that mandate us to have permanent workers to get the work done. So for us, it's already a given that, you know, this has already been the case, that it's been in. It's like, you know, there's guaranteed income for everybody, right?
Right.
So that report should address, just simply because of the fact that the majority of the tea is produced by small tea growers. So the report should take into account the recommendations, you know, the oversight the observations of the smoothie grower, right? Almost every report I've seen, from social welfare organizations, like either you speak of the USAID or I speak of some of the Nordic nations, social welfare programs. Everybody likes to, catch, the organized sector, like TSAs, right? Because that's what comes to mind, in North America. How many people, when you think about, the image of tea plucking, right? You get the image of somebody, dressed up, elegantly with jewelry, plucking leaf from a plantation up in the hills, right? That's the image of tea production. But that's not rightly so. That may be the case for, partially, but the majority of the tea is now produced by small tea growers. And those factories, have little to no oversight. They have employees, but how much does a tea factory employ? 5-10 people at the most? We employ hundreds and hundreds of people, right? I'd recommend, any future reports, the recommendations should take into account what goes on within the small tea sector, right?
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.